Recording. And I'm actually
Start
recording, not
recording.
streaming, yes. I started recording this.
Started recording.
We are being
Okay,
recorded. You look
this
like
might
a
be a
rabbit in the
new.
headlights there, Chris.
This
Oh,
might be
I
a low. This
am.
might be a low energy one because this is kind of a build up episode. Also, I feel fucking rough. So.
Oh, okay.
And I'm in a mood, so, you know. Hey.
Yeah. This
Oh.
is gonna.
Damn it, I was really looking forward to spoiling your good moods, but it's like
No,
it's already been
you're
done.
fine today. No, it's
Okay, all right. Well, I'm gonna have a go anyway. This doesn't feel that like the Ross and Andy crew should be together. Like the fact that they've been apart for three episodes now feels.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
they got split up a bit in the last series as well, didn't they?
I think I'm cool when they take them apart. They sort of tease you. They take them apart, or they don't bring Bobby into the ship for a very long time, and you're like, I want Bobby to be with the crew, kind of thing. You're like and stuff like that. Like, and they build it up, and then it happens. You're like, yay! So I don't mind when they do that, but this feels a bit like it feels like they've done that trick before. Like, I don't want that trick anymore. I just
Yeah, I
want the
want
crew
them one
together doing their
together
thing.
again, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that they've introduced a lot of characters who I don't give any, any fucks about. Like Kamina Drummer's pirate crew, don't care about them.
I've got to admit, I feel the same way about it. I like, I'm still
Hey,
interested in Kamina,
you kind of get
but
it builds
crew.
up a little bit. You kind of get a bit more character out of them, but yeah, they are
Like they're
just
not, but it's not that
they're
they're
kind
bad
of an
characters. I
amorphous
think
blob
it's
of people, aren't they?
like
Yeah.
they're not really when it
They're not
introduces a
really.
new and it introduces a new character like Bobby, like she's doing her own, she's got her own agency, she's doing stuff. Whereas this crew is really just an addition to Kamina. Like they're just doing Kamina stuff. They're not really agents in their own right. So they're
Well,
not as
they do.
interesting.
Well, one of them does kind of stand up to it a bit in this episode and change their
Oh,
mind
yeah,
again.
I'm not saying
I've
they're
got
lacking, they
that.
don't have personality, but they're not on their own track. They're on Kamina's track.
Yeah, that. I mean, they're just extensions of Kamina's sort of thought
Exactly.
process, really.
Yeah, it's like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Because yeah,
It's.
I'm not particularly interested in that crew. There's a lot. It's not that it's bad TV or it's bad Expanse. It's not like last season where it's a lot of nothing. But it's stuff. It's the stuff I care about the least in this episode. It's Naomi stuff, which I don't know why, but I'm not interested in really.
No.
Like I know how it serves the plot, you know. It's Marco who's launched the rocks at the Earth, and she's got the thing with her son. Like I get how it all intersects, but I don't. I'm not particularly invested because plot of anything else. Like now we've met him, Philip, bit of a prick.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a bit.
Like
Well,
from because I mean, obviously she's the mother. She's got that emotional tie
I
that you
was
know
about to
whatever.
say the episode is called Mother.
Right. She's got that
And
emotional
it
side.
and
But
it
I don't, from my point of view, I'm just like, well, he's a prick. Stop
Yeah,
caring about him.
yeah.
Just like fucking leave. Go back to the people who actually care about
Yeah,
you.
you were right the first time.
Yeah. That's what she should have said when Philip was being a prick. He's like, well, it turns out, yeah, I
Yeah,
did
it
the
turns
right
out I should
thing.
have just
See
stayed
you
away.
later.
Yeah, so it opens with 22 hours until impact for one of the rocks, the excitement, and it just whooshes by other, more stuff that should be detected. Also, the episode is directed. Did you notice who the director is?
No.
I did not.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, it's not, is it?
No.
Oh.
One Mr. Thomas Jane.
Who's that? Is that
Miller.
Star Trek?
No,
Oh, it's
Miller.
Miller.
Miller. Yeah.
Oh, Miller.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, he directs a
maybe
few episodes, I think.
let me go back to acting.
He does a few episodes. I can't remember.
Does,
I just
yeah.
remember that
No,
when I noticed
it's
that
not a
it's
bad
him.
episode. It's just, but it's a build-up episode.
It's a build-up episode, yeah.
The only interesting bit to me is the very end scene.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of
The
stuff
rest is,
written down, but it's not.
yeah.
Most of it's just sort of going, oh, that's what happened. It's not
Okay,
really
but
notes on anything.
so does this polyamory pirate ship like mean anything, or did they just throw it in for a bit of color?
Well,
think
no,
it's.
it's not without precedent in the show.
No, but like it just feels
Miller's,
like it's.
sorry, Holden's family are a polycule.
Yeah, but that's there's a reason for it. Like there's a like this particular one
Well, I
just
think it's
feels
just to
like.
show that it's not that rare in the future or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's yeah, and also meta-wise, I think the sh at this point the show was getting a bit of stick for, because like it's implied that Naomi and Kamina have something going on, but they never show it, and I think that was getting a bit criticized, rightly so.
Oh.
I think because it was so heavily implied, but they never show that did feel weird. Yeah. So I think it's a representation thing, which is
a bit of queer baiting is the technical term.
Yeah.
I guess so. They could have done it better. Not it better, but like, I mean, because you know, you're like, it's a pirate ship. You just already assume that they're fucking, you know. It's like...
yeah. But also sort of Kamina's ship being so. I think it's got some of the problems of the last season in that I think Kamina's ship gets too much time given its role in the plot.
Mm. Well,
like like we're all the same as Expanse. Always.
Without being teleological,
I think even just having watched the rest of the show, you know, just the way this show works is everybody seems to be on their own paths, and then they all kind of converge in a particular thing, right? So we know we're heading for something like that, probably. But even given that, I think Kamina's crew gets a bit too much time for me.
Okay.
Or they don't have enough personality or purpose or
the ship in general, like, not just necessarily those characters, but Kamina herself, really, she's not really doing much.
Well, she doesn't in this episode. She's got a little bit of it because obviously they discovered the Tynan floating in space last time, and so they go to the Tynan, they repaired it and added it to the fleet, so her fleet's got three ships now. And also she finds Ashford's message. Now Ashford's message is quite important though. Albeit poorly timed that they found it.
The way she finds it in that like fire extinguisher.
Yeah, she notices there's another fire extinguisher right here. Yeah, that's a bit weird.
It feels like those things I used to see in catalogs where it was like a fake plug socket for your valuables or whatever.
You could have assumed, oh, well, he's got half his face burnt off. Of course he's going to carry a fire extinguisher around with him.
There's a fire extinguisher in the airlock already, and this one's inside a cupboard, which is weird in itself. So that's the kind of, you know, the weirdness of it. Anyway, so she finds Ashford's message, and then she decides to go after Marco. And she claims it's not revenge, it's, you know, it's the money, blah, blah, blah. But then one of her wives sort of changes her mind and calms her down. So as far as we know,
she's a wife. I thought these were just pirate buddies.
In inverted commas.
No, they're wives and husbands.
Are they all?
Canon, they are. Yes, wives and husbands.
Okay. Because that's certainly not obvious. It just sounds like they're.
Well, they all mix around and stuff as well. So.
Yeah.
Although it does seem like that one woman is with Kamina more than the others. And I mean, well, you know that Michio is my favorite. Yeah.
So to rewind a little bit, to deal with my, I only made one note for this episode because it's a lot of procedural stuff. So when Kamina gets out of bed, all nudie, she does not put on underwear before putting on the overalls. That seems like. I don't think I would be comfortable with that. I think I would want
not with those those overalls are going to be rough.
Yeah, like quite a coarse fabric is going to catch in your crotch and rub you. Like I would want some underpants under inside that overall.
And you know, in your nipples as well. I would imagine.
I mean, it could be space fabric that's a bit softer than it looks on the inside.
Could be space fabric. Could have a nice lining.
Was this when she got out of bed? Because the way I interpreted that is like she's just slinging it on for now. She'll probably
something to wear to walk through the ship without being freezing cold or whatever.
Because they're not going to have dressing gowns on the pirate ship, are they?
She kind of did, not a dressing gown, but she did the second time when she goes to the bottle over. I think, like a blanket or something.
I do have a couple of notes about some little funny bits that I liked. We'll come to them when that comes up. On Tycho, we discover that Cortazar is still being used for research by someone on Ceres.
Old friend of the show, Cortazar.
Yeah. However, Cortazar has now been kidnapped by a strike team of belters.
I wonder who that is.
Yeah, Belter's up to no good. There's only one name that springs to mind at the moment.
Trouble in the neighbourhood.
Yeah. So this was on Ceres, right?
It was on Ceres, and Anderson Dawes says he didn't know anything about it. So,
well, no, because he's the one holding Cortazar at the moment, right?
Yeah, he's the one stolen from.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm guessing it's Marco Inaro.
Marco Inaro.
Marco Inaris. Marky,
you can't even,
Marco Inaros. Like, it is a weird name to say, actually.
Is it Marky quite... Mark and his Inaros bunch.
That's it, yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, All right, this is going to be a bit strange, but I feel like this is going to sound so weird. I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth.
Oh, my God.
I kind of, in a way, miss Murtry. Because
really,
because he played like he is a memorable part from the last season. Now, admittedly, his character could have done things different ways. It's probably more about the acting than the actual role itself. But I do kind of feel like Marco Inaros. Maybe he could have had more screen time, or maybe because I don't know. He doesn't seem to like. He's done a lot of things up to this point, but.
You've not seen him do anything specific. You've seen him prepare things, but we've not seen him.
Yeah, I mean, you get a flash at the very, very start pre-titles. You get a flash of, you know, the
problem with Marco.
Ship, you know.
I think is so. I enjoy this season very much. This, I would say, if I'm right, this is like my second favorite season. I love this season, but I think. The earlier X-Men, like the first three seasons, they weren't really up against an antagonist. Like there was Jean-Pierre Mao who was doing stuff, but that's not what they were directly dealing with. When they were solving a mystery, it was like, what is the proto molecule? We've got to figure out what this is, solve this. Mm. And it was particular immediate problems. And I think the show for me works better when it doesn't have a singular person at personified antagonist. I think Murtry doesn't work, and I think for me Marco doesn't work in a similar way. Like I prefer it more when they're dealing with situations rather than, you know, a baddie doing bad things.
To me, the best part of the series so far was the bit where they at the end of season three, I think it was, you know, where it was. And it was the pacing was just so exciting there.
I love my favorite sort of area of the show is that I think is it towards the end or midway of season two where they're dealing with Eros. Is it Eros where they're crashing the?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Eros and Julie Mao in control of Eros and Miller going in to be with Julie Mao. All that stuff. Love that. And then I love the Bobby stuff in I think season three where she defects and. Punches a CO and like I love that. That's my favorite portions of the show. And then this season, I think the next episode or the next couple of episodes are very much a high point for me.
Okay,
yeah,
because this felt a little bit so. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of characters in here that don't. I'm not interested in that get a lot of screen time as well. Like for example. The guy that Alex is dating.
The guy that Alex is dating?
The woman that Alex is dating.
Oh, yeah. I thought I missed something here. What I've written about Alex is confirmed false modesty and blabbermouth. I mean, he says, I'm not at liberty to say, and then he just... When the other couple get a hold of him, they didn't even need to give him the serum. They should have serum, no. The truth serum. They should have made him in it because he'd never shut the fuck up.
No, just get get an attractive lady to feign interest in him, and he's just like, blah, blah, blah. Although, to be fair, we'd probably all get weird.
That probably works staggering regularity.
Yeah. But what I did, that just while we're on that scene, there's a bit that always makes me laugh in that scene where they've caught the people, and because Bobby injects the stuff in the ladies.
Oh right, you've jumped ahead.
It makes me laugh when she's leaving when the police are taking her out. Oh, she's like, bye.
Bye. that was one of my funny bit notes.
Do you know? I think it is quite common in like security briefings to actually be like. Is an attractive woman interested in what you have to say?
But one of the high points, Alex gets the shit kicked out of him and then he gets drugged.
Yep.
But in fairness to Alex, he does save Bobby. He's just about to get shot. Bobby comes in.
That's surprising.
And he actually goes, and jumps on the guy. Because if he hadn't, Bobby probably would have got shot. Yeah. But then Bobby shoots him, that's insane. Pardon?
He says, "You can't shoot me, that's insane." That bit got a giggle out of me. Honestly, that's
it's kind of fun.
But then Bobby saves them both and knocks seven shades of shit out of the two assailants. You know? The important note out of that scene is, of course, that they were both former Navy officers who were dishonorably discharged. So you know, we obviously see, we're doing what Alex and Bobby do and put the dots together to this Admiral and guy being.
I know how that
dodgy.
Feels. I had a bit of dishonorable discharge this morning. it's the migraine.
Yeah. speaking of drummer again, as well, a little bit of a note that she's got those interestingly shaped scars on her back from when she was.
From the
spinal operation and stuff. You see, there's like a sort of oblong, sort of very right angled edged sort of scar in a couple of places on her spine. Which I thought was a nice little detail. It's like when you see Holden with his arm exposed, you get the little.
It's one of those little signs that like they care. They care about the show. They care about the little details.
There's not much to say, is there?
It's another build-up episode. Going back to what Chris was saying, I think in the early seasons, your side characters are like Miller, Bobby, there's others, I'm sure. Like the side characters with actual stuff going on. Prax, Whereas in this season and the previous season, your side characters are just kind of like, oh, just dude. You know?
It's a bit like Deus Ex, where they start label some of the NPCs monk,
man,
newspaper lady.
Yeah,
but actually, even is it Elias Tavoldis's character was quite you know, even though he didn't really have much of a backstory.
No,
that was probably it looked like the side characters were better in the early ones. I'll give you that.
But again, it's because of the structure of the show. It's kind of like the show hasn't responded to its own, because now it is more about like they were just like belter people. They didn't have any sort of political or institutional power. Now they are known. They're trusted with things. They're on the bigger picture. So given that it's a bigger picture show focused at a particular thing, maybe they need to not worry. Don't have so much the side characters.
Another little bit that I noticed, which made me giggle. When Naomi first arrives at that station, where she is, Palace, I think it is, she goes to, something like that. Anyway, she comes out and there's a sign up, you know, with all sorts of information on it. But one thing it says on it is, seven souls, accident free. And just as that's gone out of frame, it changes to zero.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Oh, that's great. I didn't notice that.
Seven souls, accident.
Like 7 days without an
souls,
accident.
Soul is a day. A day on another, on a different place.
Oh, because the way I interpret that immediately is seven souls accident free was like seven people, but they were killed.
No. Seven
none by
souls.
Accident. Was health and safety is top notch.
That's the point. Is that, 7 days since the last accident, basically. And it changes to zero just as it's kind of a show.
That's funny. That is actually
did
funny.
Amuse me, yeah. And then we meet some of Naomi's, well, one friend and one frenemy. Oh, that's pretty good, which is in the bar. And you know, the barman recognises her and he tries to offer her a drink. And she says, no, I'll buy more. And it does seem a bit of a fuck you to the barman, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, my impression is like she's wary of getting fucked over and but then she does get fucked over anyway, so
but then Sin arrives and smacks the guy's head on the bar, which is
I mean I can see that, like, in prison you never accept nothing for free, because then it usually means you owe someone something down the line.
Hang on, I'm taking note of that.
Chris knows, he's an old lag.
I had a friend that went to prison and he made that awful mistake of accepting a free haircut from a guy that was in there for murder, and then basically he was like, handing
"Yeah, I would have. Somebody's like, you want your haircut, and I'll be like, yeah, sure, yeah, yeah. Somebody wants to be my friend, yeah,
yeah. Never accept nothing in prison.
Okay,
nothing for free.
Okay.
Nothing comes with that string.
I would never accept a haircut from anybody, other than unless I went to a barber's. You know, unless I like
having my head touched.
I do, but not by strangers."
No, I didn't go to the hairdressers a lot, but like, as a kid, when you go to the hairdresser, you like the tugging on your hair, and like I kind of like that. I like that feeling, not sexually or anything.
No,
just,
I know what you mean. No,
nice,
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
No, I get it. Yeah.
So do we like Sin, the big guy?
I don't. Like,
you know, he's a barman in Deadwood as well. That actor.
Is he? Mm. I remember that.
He's one of the bad
guys. I mean, I've seen, he's a British actor, right? I've seen him around and stuff.
I don't know if he's British.
I swear I've seen him in like sort of gangstery roles or something, like British gangster
see,
roles.
To me, he kind of has a Star Wars vibe. Like he's like...
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. Yeah.
He's a bit like a Star Wars side character in The Expanse.
His name's Brent Sexton. No, he's born in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, okay. Well, completely. He's got a British vibe.
He does have a British vibe about him. I think it's because he looks a bit like...
Yeah, I know you mean.
That guy...
Yeah. I might be actually mixing him up with him mentally. Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Yeah, he does have a familiar face. I'm just trying to think. Oh, my God. It's...
What's the guy's name?
What's he even done? Like, I've seen that face before in...
He was on an advert as well.
He does the things with the betting or something, that guy.
Yeah.
And he looks a lot like him anyway. Yeah.
Ray Winston.
He looks a lot like Ray Winston. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, he does. But other frenemy lady, very attractive.
Yeah, did you like her, did you?
Yeah. She's very pretty.
I don't know.
I think I like the slightly blue lipstick as well. I think that looks really nice.
Yeah, that did look quite cool, yeah.
But yeah, them two, again, not hugely interested in Naomi's stuff, not hugely interested in Naomi's like old friends or whatever. So I mean, that scene was fun. It's not like last season where it's just emptiness. Mm. It's like they're fine scenes. These aren't scenes I'm hugely invested in. We're getting to stuff that I am more interested in.
Yeah. See, here's the thing about last season, right? If I compress it in
still
my mind,
rag on the series forever, aren't we? Series 4.
If I compress that season in my mind, it doesn't feel so bad. There were bits that I liked about it. The trouble is that it's twice as long as it ought to have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you like the proto molecule stuff, right? When they're fucking with, that's 5% of that season is the thing. Yeah, the rest is
They could have cut that season in half in terms of length.
Yeah,
that would be just as good as.
I think we said towards the end of last season, it should have been the proto molecule stuff, a tiny bit of the surface politics stuff, and then give us a backstory for Marco and Aro. Not a backstory, but show us what Marco and Aro was up to in that season, so that going into this season, we've got more context for why the relationships and stuff.
Yeah, it does. They don't really build up Marco that much.
He's very suddenly, because he was in last season briefly, wasn't he? Then he's in like a couple of episodes.
I mean, Keon Alexander, who plays him, does a brilliant job, especially when there's two different scenes around the, I think they must be on the Tynan at the time, where they captured him, and he's trying to talk Ashford around and stuff.
That was an excellent bit.
I would have liked it if, as we were being introduced to him in the last season, but we were introduced to him as if he was like a hero. So we got two heroes butting heads.
Like a hero of the belt.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they almost, when he's having that disputation with Ashford in the airlock, he's almost, I think they do, he's too much set up as he's the terrorist, blah, blah, blah. But if they... Yeah. It made that just a little bit softer, and we are torn between which one we sympathize with. That would have been and then follow that through to that would have been way more interesting.
See, he could have used his charisma on the audience.
Exactly. But they set him up as they code him as bad guy
right away.
In fact, they could
have made it more out of capturing him as well. They could have made it.
And he could have made it. They could have made it so that Naomi. Well, I don't know. Like they are. They have kind of done it a bit here, where Naomi actually did abandon Philip.
Yeah.
Like you know, they could have been like.
Well, she kind of does. You know, she's kind of dead. So it's not really a. It's not really a lie. It's just.
But yeah,
it's the circumstances that aren't explained to Philip very clearly. Obviously, you know,
if they set him up as somebody we sympathise with to a great extent, and then like
we do with the Belters in general.
Yeah,
you know, if he'd come across as a Belter, we'd just.
And then we would have been like a little bit emotionally torn. Like, you know, you like Kamina, so you kind of want to capture him. But at the same time, like, you kind of side with him. And that would have been far more interesting going into and then make him more, oh, he's actually a bit psychotic. Like, bring that in later.
Yeah, he doesn't even need to. You just make the strongest possible case for terrorism.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, like, make it, like, look, obviously, like, he is less than a bad guy or even a terrorist. He is just someone... pushing maybe too far, like
a radical,
a radical essentially, yeah. You know,
his arguments, I am sympathetic to his argument. Like, he's not wrong.
Yeah, he's not wrong in any of his arguments.
Like, the only problem
is just turns out that he's a fucking lunatic.
Well, it comes down to is even if he's right, if in the long run this would lead to a better world and less suffering, is it okay to just genocide civilians to get to that world? That's the essential moral quandary.
That's the question. Yeah.
Yeah. But they never
except
really...
of course, the trouble with the course ends justifying the means is that there is never quite an end.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's
that's what's happening on Earth and at the moment in the forever war in the Middle East. You know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It just keeps Americans power. But I mean, fuck knows what's going to happen with all that at the moment. You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
it seems that war is just making a certain segment of people a lot of money.
Yeah,
and
that's why Keith's getting in on it as well. You know, they've got this thing where I think it was the Financial Times had a thing today where they said it's absolutely the only thing they can do is to cut back on welfare to improve our defense spending.
Because like, we can't possibly take money
from very rich people or anything, you know.
To be honest. I think a lot of Keith's problems are down to maybe like naivety, stupidity, lack of political awareness
Being a puppet.
Like, I think he's kind of.
I mean, they've got. I think they said it's something like 50 Tory advisors are now advisors in the Labour cabinets, Labour organisation, government. And like,
Christ.
And they've got around, you know, they've got through. There's lots of little loopholes they've managed to use to avoid it being like, oh, that's corruption or, you know, conflicts of interest or whatever. And it's like, it just shows you, they're on another planet. These people,
I feel so fucking duped by voting for the lesser of two evil this time around. Like,
because it's always been that. It's always been a trick, but this time it's just.
This time
sides.
It worked on me. I don't usually, but like this.
Yeah, but it's also so evident. It's so obviously a trick this time.
But like, it's like this isn't.
Yeah, I didn't vote Labour this time. No.
Yeah,
and I've never voted Tory and never would because.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm not a billionaire or a landed gentry or whatever. So why the fuck?
Exactly.
That's what gets me. People are so fucking stupid to vote for them. You know, just it's that. Oh, there are betters, and you know whatever, that sort of. Thing that's built into British people, you know.
But equally, no offense to God, I don't mean this, mate, like specifically, but like equally stupid to vote Labour this time. It turns out.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I have my hands up to that. I was. Yeah.
I'm not saying you asked it, but like, it has now been it's mask off, right? Mm. It's now been revealed that they are the same fucking party.
And also the local MP who I voted for, who I genuinely believe is like a decent person, is just going along with it, like they're powerless or naive or whatever. Like I fucked up on two counts there, local and national there. I gotta hold my hands up to that one, to be honest.
Well, it's the same in America. I've heard stories of like people contacting their Democrat Party Senate representatives or House representatives and going like, what are you gonna do about this? And they've basically gone, well, call the Republicans, they're the ones in power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're supposed to do something as the opposition.
Yeah,
like, you have
they're
a
supposed to be in opposition. Yeah.
Republicans were doing a lot as the opposition.
Yes,
they?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, they were doing everything. They got
But they don't care. I mean, they just don't care. It's the money. It's where the money goes. That's what bothers them. Is whether
well, they not only don't care, they're institutionally incapable of doing it. They cannot do anything because of who their donors are and so on. Like they're not who they pretend to be.
Yeah,
but exactly, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, politics.
Mm. Yeah,
who'd have it?
I don't know. I'm going to be kicking myself for that one until the next election.
I think you probably feel how I felt voting for the Lib Dems when it was Cameron.
I can make apologies for the Lib Dems. I can look past some of the worst stuff they've done. I can't look past what's happening now, because the thing is, it's like okay, one of the things that is a big voting area for me is things like social security, welfare. Hang on, what's the British word for that? Benefits. You know.
Well, see, that's the other thing. They're not fucking benefits. It's not extras. This is language really pisses me off. I know it's not you that made the language. Sorry, I'm not angry with you, but it really pisses me off how they frame things.
Yeah, and the fact that Labour still
frame it the same way and stuff. They never.
Like I said, I mean, yeah, this is maybe a bit too personal, but my benefits, my disability benefits, has been cut. I don't feel that would have happened under the Tories, because poor people vote for the Tories and they can't piss them off that much. Labour, I was actually, when I said this the other day, and I was like, I've got to check my facts. So I checked the demographic breakdown for who voted for who. And it is, yeah, Labour, it was people making above median income, basically. Poor people voted for, I mean, usually Tories, this time Tories and Reform. So while I'm not saying for a second that the Tories are better at representing poor people, they know that they are voted for by, you know, very poor people, so they can't, it's only so far they can cut benefits.
So that cracks me up. Why would a very poor person vote for Tories?
Because they're not going to get their benefits slashed like what Labour are doing right now.
Yeah,
that's the thing, and that's one key area for me, because I see it as a bit of a wind vane, a litmus test for how left wing they are, basically. Same thing for like public transport. If you actually give a shit about like people, then you put money into buses. You don't cut bus routes, right? Like, which is,
and what they do, they cut, like as you said, they're cutting benefits and increasing military spending. Like, which is
for what reason?
Who votes for Labour wanting those two things?
Yeah,
exactly. So it's but the thing,
but they're not Labour. I mean, they're not Labour. But this is the other problem: is people will just go to the polls and go, oh, Labour, right, I always vote for Labour, and just tick the box.
Well, the worst part of it, because it kind of linked to what I was just saying about the Tories and poor people, like, the right-wing, in inverted commas, parties could not possibly get away with these things. The Dems and the Labour tend to go further than the Tories and the Republicans would, because they want to prove how, you know, they want to prove what they are to the bourgeoisie, basically. Mm. They were trying to... I didn't express that very well, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, like, you got it.
Like on immigration, on war in particular, like, this is more for the Dems. Like, they go further, you know, they're worse. They are objectively worse because they're trying to prove something.
Yeah, and we haven't even covered the transphobia and the, you know,
the weaponized anti-Semitism bullshit,
all that. I don't think there's any area where Labour have actually made an improvement in the first coming up to a year in power. Like, I try and be as giving them as much of the benefit of the doubt as possible. But like, fuck, you know, it's I'm running out of, you know.
What Lucy said last night about, and because we think obviously if Corbyn had won, we'd be in a different world now. If Bernie had won, we'd be in a different world. But going back to Al Gore, if Al Gore had won, we'd be in a win, but it was robbed. If Al Gore had won, we'd be in a different world. I think we're in the bad timeline.
Yeah. Well, none of them were allowed to though.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah.
Completely undermined by their own parties.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Including Al Gore, that election was a scam. I'm not the biggest. Al Gore is at best barely social democratic, but he's a hell of a lot better than anybody who came after him.
Bush, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's
and genuinely, he seems like for a politician, because I think you've got to be psychotic to become a politician in this climate. Mm. But Al Gore seemed like a fairly decent human being, you know, by politician standards.
Yeah. What's bothering me about all this at the moment is I just can't see the answer, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We are getting less and less say in everything constantly. Yeah. The media have created all this, and then people have fell for it and voted
well,
for it.
Well, Keith, you know. Keith is running headlong into World War III. He just literally wants us to do a World War III.
Yeah, he wants a war because that's what made Thatcher get more power, and he probably thinks that's what got
yeah, but I mean, Blair the Falklands attacking the Falklands, you know, fighting Argentina is one thing, but provoking World War III with Russia and China is quite another fucking thing.
Yeah.
Can we just have a bit of a scrap with France? Can they try and take the Channel Islands and we'll just, you know,
fight over the Channel Islands? Yeah.
Have a, you know, just a little scrap with, not a proper full war. No, just a thing scrap is,
we're not supposed to go to war with countries with actual armies like France. Yeah, like let's go to war with actual Guernsey. Let's just go to
Guernsey. Oh, anyway. People of Guernsey are like, what the fuck?
I mean, there's good looting to be had in Guernsey.
Let's go to war with the Isle of Man.
Northern Ireland, and like let them have a shot at taking it back.
Oh, God. Right, that's going to get you cancelled. That little.
You can't get cancelled in World War III. It's World War III. No one gets cancelled in World War III.
That's true. Yeah. This is true. So anyway, not that we've got much to talk about, but let's briefly get back to this. I'm pretty much out of notes as well. I've only got a couple of bits left. Well, I'll come back to that. But what I was going to say is that Philip does turn up and meets Naomi eventually.
Yeah.
He's a prick.
Yeah. He is a prick, yeah. I mean, to be fair, he was abandoned by his mother. He's got feelings. Like, I'm not being callous. Like, you know, he's...
Yeah,
the problem is we don't know that stuff. We haven't seen his point of view. So.
Yeah, there's not been any build-up to it. That's what's wrong, I think. I think that's what's wrong, is they haven't given us any...
Well, the side content. Characters, that's
there's
the problem.
Not
the side
meat,
characters...
There's not enough meat on it all. Basically,
the side characters that they're choosing this season, they shouldn't be those side characters. It should have been Philip and Marcos. They should be the side characters for the last couple of seasons, so we're getting their point of view and we understand how they feel about things.
Yeah. That's a point. Yeah, well made. Yeah. Anyway, and then she gives him a ship, says, you know, go be a watch. I mean, the one thing, I mean, I think they could have written it better as well, explaining her motivations.
Yeah.
But she actually just says it blatantly a few times in this last series and this series. She's blatantly said, Marco's going to get him killed. That's basically what her worry is. Mm. And, you know, she's not playing that, if you know what I mean. She's just saying it.
I think that's part of the problem.
There's not enough meat on the bones of this sort of story, basically.
In fact, I would say maybe
fuzzy, by
this
the way,
is just this is something I've just thought now. I think maybe The Expanse is at its worst when it's doing interpersonal stuff.
I don't know. Some of it's all right early on.
No, it's all right, but it's not it's not really what the show's about, and it's not what I'm interested in. I am interested in the geopolitical stuff and the adventure, mystery, finding out, like who are we up against, kind of stuff. The interpersonal stuff doesn't have enough meat for me to care about it.
Mm.
Yeah, and I like the characters that I like are the ones that don't necessarily have so much of the deep interpersonal stuff. When it comes to the characters that are most, a lot of it is superficial, Miller and his jaunty,
well, the interpersonal stuff comes through in moments, like Amos and Prax. They had interpersonal stuff, but it was just through, you saw it. They weren't telling you. You saw their relationship. You saw how much Prax loved his daughter and how important that was to him and how that affected his behavior. It wasn't just Naomi saying, he's going to get him killed.
She says it several times. This price on Marco's head is going to get Philip and him killed. I mean, obviously, again, it's this teleological thing, but we know there's other things going to happen with that story.
Well, I know what's coming, and it's fucking great. For me, I don't know if it will necessarily be the same for you two, but for me, the next couple of episodes, I fucking love them. I adore them.
Mm. There's some good shit coming. Yeah,
It plays into some of my sort of media preferences, which I won't name now. We'll do that next episode.
Yeah, we'll do it when it comes up. Yeah. So anyway, and then Philip decides, or you know, Marco's people decide, we will have the ship. Thanks very much.
Which was obviously going to happen.
Yeah, and then they kidnap her. And
which is interesting because that's on Philip's whim. Like that wasn't the plan. That's Philip's whim, which is interesting.
It is an interest. That is an interesting part of it. Yeah, for sure.
Hey, but it's a like that's a good ship, right? Like
it's cool. Looks a cool ship. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Naomi's going to give it to him in tip top condition. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
She's going to look after it. Yeah.
You're going to know this teleologically. There are clues in it that I can't quite work out where the first asteroid hit on Earth.
It was where, when we were talking about it, looking at the map, it was where that was. It was West Africa.
Okay.
It's actually in the titles of the show. They give it away from the first episode of this series.
What is it?
In the titles of the show, they give it away in the first episode.
How so?
They show you Africa getting hit.
Okay, yeah.
If you look at the titles again,
Chris, you mean the? I see what you mean. Sorry, I was misunderstanding what you meant by titles. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. I skipped through that. So
yeah, the little graphic titles. Oh no, the graphic title thing's quite interesting. If you watch it, because it changes subtly a lot each time.
I
just hate titles. Game of Thrones ruined everything. Game of Thrones had lovely intro titles, and now every show just has random CGI bullshit intro titles. And like they're nice little animations in and of themselves. But if I'm binging a fucking show, if I'm watching eight episodes back to back, I don't want to sit through two fucking minutes of bullshit fucking animation.
Well, the titles aren't that long in Expanse. And
I respect shows always, where they put up a card for half a second.
I get that. I get that as well. But it's interesting that these ones are always slightly different each episode.
That is cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the cool thing about the Game of Thrones one is that it told you where the stories were taking place.
Mm.
You know, it went around a map. It gave you a feel for...
And they were different. They all mimic that now.
Yeah. Like, tell the story in the fucking show. Don't tell the story in the fucking intro. Mm-hmm. Like, when Game of Thrones did it, it was great. It looked great. Like, it was impressive. Also, adding to that, theme tunes. Theme tunes have got fucking terrible. The Game of Thrones, great theme tune. You can bum, 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 but you can hum it, right? Mm. Hum the Expanse theme tune for me. Mm-hmm. Or Severance. Severance is a bit more of a tune, but it's just they're just soundscapes now.
The problem is,
I like a soundscape as a what's the sound of a movie called?
Soundtrack.
I like a soundscape as a soundtrack. The Dune films, I love their soundtrack. They're amazing. But for if you're going to do an intro, at least give me a fucking tune, something I can hum and go like, yeah, it's my show.
It's very, close to the Battlestar Galactica theme, actually, surprisingly close to it.
Yeah. So, Hamish, what was that?
The Expanse theme is surprisingly close to the Battlestar Galactica theme.
Different musician.
I was going to say a surprisingly good theme tune. Is the Where's Wally cartoon?
I've not seen it.
Of course, everyone's favourite, Going Round the Twist.
Oh, Round the Twist was amazing. Oh, the great theme tune.
Didn't really care much for the programme, but the theme tune.
Never.
Again, I probably saw that because of Younger Sisters. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. That was great.
Cheggers plays pop. Cheggers plays pop.
But you know, like, TV shows of the past, you know, Dallas, Dynasty, me and Hamish, I'm sure, can both hum those theme tunes. Yeah. But yeah, like Game of Thrones.
I was going to say that. People always do that. They get the theme wrong. That's only the backing.
But it's hummable. It's hummable. Yeah. The Expanse isn't, Severance isn't, while Silo isn't. I don't remember the fuck that theme tune. Like, it's just warbling fucking nonsense.
Yeah, things seem to be like a
which I like during the show, but like I want.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's something. Yeah, I don't know. It prepares.
As you say, things get a sort of they sort of catch on as a thing, and they just get done to death.
Yeah, you know?
I think Battlestar Galactica might have started all that, to be honest.
Yeah, because that had an interesting soundscape. What the drums when the when the silent was like,
Koto drums or whatever they're called.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. But then, so the guy is fishing for Atlantic
Mackerel. Sorry, very quickly. Battlestar Galactica. I think it's called like Song of Six or something. You know, when the six android comes on. Her, I can't remember. I couldn't hum it now, but her tune. That's an amazing piece of music. I love that in the show. It's very evocative. Mm.
Before you get to that, Well, I mean, you can if you want. I suppose doesn't make any difference to what I was going to say. I suppose carry on.
With the mackerel. So he's looking for Atlantic mackerel, which includes Boston mackerel, Norwegian mackerel, and Scottish mackerel.
Yeah, known as.
He's using his Fish Finder 5000.
Yes. I don't know what he's using. I love that, though.
I love the idea that that has replaced fish. I mean, it isn't explicit, but like the idea that you just, rather than going with, you just go down to the beach and have this thing that shows you, oh, there's some mackerel, there's some whatever. It's like, that's cute. That's cool. That's a nice idea.
I bet bird watching's kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah,
So just got glasses to tell you things that you're seeing.
Yeah, that's why Google wanted to do it. This is the thing, is that all these things look cool until you remember the real world that would be full of adverts and stuff. You know,
apparently they've been out for a while, but there's Meta Ray-Bans now, which are a bit like Google. Yeah, I just watched a video about them, and like, it's kind of cool. It's a cool thing, but never in a million years would I buy that from like Google or Facebook or you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. Yeah. Is the and this is why I say
they need to be open standards based things. That would be great. I love it.
Yeah. But this is why I tell people, and people say, especially when people say, "Oh, Microsoft invented this or innovated that," it's like, did they fuck? They've held all innovation and invention back for decades in order to do their own thing, you know. So it's like, it doesn't matter if the wheel's hexagonal with two spokes missing and it's slightly at an angle to the axle or whatever, as long as it's a Microsoft wheel, then that's fine. That's what a wheel is, and everybody gets to the point where they think, oh, that's what a wheel is. Yeah, and it's fucking
cool. That thing that Apple released a while back, I think it flopped, but it looked really cool. It was like a VR headset, but it was more like AR. So, like, you'd have the VR headset on, you'd be using your computer, and you go, like, I want a big screen. So it would put a big screen in your room that you could, like, use as a TV and stuff. Like, so you have a virtual TV, basically. Yeah. That's kind of cool. But the thing costs, like, $5,000.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, like, it costs too much. And, you know, I'm not...
Yeah, presumably, presumably we can get projectors up to a decent standard where the point that you could just buy a little thing...
Yeah, there are ones that are like that, you know, like that size. There are projectors that are tiny now.
I like the idea of it being VR though. Like, I mean, AR. Apart from anything else, AR. Yeah, no need to tidy your room, just AR it. You know, I live in a fucking mansion in my head. I'll go out into the world like everybody's an anime girl if that's what you want. You know, like just like fucking edit the fucking world. That's great. Yeah.
That can't be good for.
No, that'd be
human
awful.
Psychology.
Like, I'm saying that. Like, I would love that, but I'm aware that would.
That's because like, you live in one room, basically.
Well, it would also lead to like we don't you know, poor people don't need stuff; they can just AR it, you know. Like,
once poor people
live in a fucking hovel,
but they'll still be charged for it, and you know,
adverts,
which actually gets very.
Open up your fridge. Would you like some Coca Cola?
Well, it's not even that. Really, it'll be. Do you want something intangible added to your setup? You know, it's like we were talking earlier about Discord. About people paying for fucking extra things on Discord. It's all completely intangible bullshit. You know? But kids have been brought up to this now. That's the problem. Yeah. People that have been like kids for,
our generation, early internet, it was like a site wanted to charge you for something. You'd laugh in their fucking faces.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
get the fuck out of here, yeah.
I remember there was... Do any of you guys know or remember Cybertown?
I think you've mentioned it to me before, but I can't remember.
And they had like a special VIP thing that was like £1 a year. And I remember as a kid, like thinking long and hard, and I didn't go with it in the end.
Like, literally £1 a year. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
like, nowadays.
Like, yeah, but it's phones that kind of broke the seal on that, I think. Yeah. People would pay for fucking ringtones and games and stuff on their phone. Yeah. And that was before you could keep them. That was like little Java applets that could just disappear at any fucking time. Well, mind you, they still can. Whereas now, at least, you know, you seem to sort of keep...
Well, then applications with ads, and it's like pay £2 to get rid of the ads and stuff like that. It's like...
No, fuck off.
Yeah, no.
You know, no, just... Oh.
I think the thing is with the phones in particular is that they are very, very, they allow impulse purchasing like so easily. Yeah.
Well, it's one of the first rules of capitalism is make it easy for people to give you their money. Yeah.
Exactly. So you're watching, like, there's a television break, you get bored, it's like, oh, I'm gonna buy something on Amazon or something just so quickly. You don't even have to process it, look at it, and like, you can just like, it's just like a fix.
Yeah.
You know, capitalism fix type of thing. And that's why I tend to like, I'm not a huge interest in wearable tech. But personally, the tech I'd love to see is monorails. And like have like space monorails.
Hey, I can turn a monorail, buddy.
Because I reckon monorails are great, like, because it's like they don't disrupt the landscape to put in, and
But the problem is that companies and governments, which are just a subset of and the media. These three things are all one and the same these days. Well, they all want to squeeze something out of it, though. So you would either get piss poor quality, or it would be massively expensive. They can never. They never want to go in between. They either want to squeeze it till it's dead, or they just throw a penny or shit. That's the two choices you get in this.
I live near Alton Towers, and back in I think like the late 80s, they built a monorail going from, because they built some extra car parks. They had a monorail going from the car park, and it would sort of go around the park, I think, and drop you off.
That sounds quite cool.
Living near there, we knew all the places where we could hop the fence. We used to, on school holidays, we'd just like me and my friends just hop the fence and have a day at Alton Towers for free. But when they built the monorail, I think the first thing, we just went there, went to the car park, and just rode the monorail back and forth for like hours, just like just loving the novelty of it. Like, it was so fucking cool.
Yeah. And imagine if you did that in towns, like just literally like a park and ride. Imagine if that was the park and ride.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. Yeah. Instead of wrecking everything. Well, the problem is people, particularly now, and I mean, even people that I'm close to, seem to think that roads are for cars. They forget that the idea of a road is to get people and goods from one place to another. But they don't. They think it's a thing for a car to be on. And that's why you get all these, bloody cyclists and motorbikes and, bloody lorries, buses.
The idea is to serve people and make life better. Not,
yeah. Yes. Not to make your death machine.
And they've become very bad at that.
I also, since we're on the subject, the car is such a con, right? Like, I've just spent 700 fucking quid replacing two shock absorbers and a shuttle panel.
Jesus.
Right? I know. They're so fucking expensive and there's so much admin involved. Like, if we actually had just anywhere close to decent public transport, right, people would leap on it because fucking cars are so...
My sister, mad killer Ben. You know, the guy from my community?
Yep.
Other community. He's always complaining about public transport. You know, I say, oh, you shouldn't use your car so much or whatever. And he'll say, public transport's terrible. I said, that's because people, they run it into the ground deliberately to stop you using it. That's the point. It's, sorry.
Yeah, my sister has, not a particularly well-paying job, but we're rural, so it's, it's 30 minutes away. So she can't public transport to get, it would not be possible, but even she'd have to get up at 5 in the morning to get there for 8 kind of thing. So she has to have a car for work, but for everything else, public transport's fine. Like, she only has to have that car for her job.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's a huge expense on she's not paid well, it's bottom end sort of salary. Like, she's so she has to spend that much money. Like, if that is just necessary for work should fucking pay for that. I mean, no,
absolutely,
get a company car, but
I do occasionally toy with the idea of, once this car gives out, getting like a little 50cc like moped or something.
But,
but like, because I can live with the weather aspect of it, that's fine, because and just not go as far away. Like, I'll just do more stuff nearer. But it's I do worry a little bit about the whole safety element.
That's the problem. Well, my mate who I've been going to the open mic music nights with, he was knocked off his bike at the end of last year
by Christ.
He's been driving for years and everything, and he wanted to get into motorbikes. He likes his cars and all that stuff as well. And what had happened, he came up to a junction where somebody has waved somebody else that wanted to turn and said, all right, on you go. Yeah. And the person that was turning didn't check the road. They just saw somebody waving and went. and they just went right into his motorbike. His legs were all smashed up, and he had to get multiple pins and things, and what do you call it, skin graft and all sorts. It's a right mess, his leg. Yeah. And that was, no, the police say, no further action. It was just an accident. But it's like, you know, if they're not looking at where they're going, you know, it's just... Anyway, yeah, that's safety.
He should have got a claim. Like, damn.
Yeah, should have been something.
Lawyers, though, isn't it? They're so fucking expensive, but like.
Don't open that fucking can of worms with me again. Yeah. I was going to say something else about the. So the end of the episode, obviously, is.
Kaboom!
Boom. Kaboom!
Oh, that's a good drawing. That's a good drawing.
Thank you. It's the best drawing I think I've ever done. So you're talking about the guy throwing the food to the fish or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's quite a cool. It's not a huge long scene, but there's some cool little details in it. Especially if you flip back and go, oh right, that was quite cool. So the clouds all evaporate away. Behind them and across the front and everything, is whoosh, the heat is just so much that the clouds are just dissipated rather. And also, I didn't notice it the first time, but I noticed this time his skin starts to burn.
His face starts burning.
His face starts burning. From the heat of the thing, and then it hits and kaboom.
Yeah.
Kaboomy.
But and we don't. I like that you don't hear much sound as well because that all would. It's faster than
exactly
the speed of sound. So you don't hear much. Just flash, clouds disappear, and then he gets blown away. Yeah.
I guess he's one of the lucky ones in that it was probably was quite quick. Do you think?
I think he was a goner pretty much instantly. Yeah.
That's the best way to go. You don't want to be like hanging on for dear life, and then like your whole skin like never stops hurting for the rest of your life.
Well, apparently when you're burned, it doesn't matter because you lose the nerves are all
you lose the
skin,
nerves. So.
The initial thing's bad, but after that, it's
as long as it's fast.
Yeah,
but don't some burn victims suffer from chronic pain?
Yeah, it depends how badly burned they are or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, that's like I just want to get amputated. Well, you can't amputate your torso, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Going back a wee bit to Drummer, when she does change her mind about going after Marco, she sends a message. She forwards Ashford's message to somebody, and we don't know who it is at the time, I don't think. And later we discover it's Fred. I don't know if we do discover if she does mention.
I think at that point you can assume it's Fred.
Yeah, I assume it's Fred. So she sends on saying, this might be useful to you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then Fred sends Ashford's message to Abisarala,
but
it's just too late, literally. And interesting that Delgado gets, gets caught out doing what, basically was Abisarala's. Somebody says to him, "You're just, you're being Abisarala's mouthpiece," and he gets caught out in it, basically.
Yeah.
And Gao's people shut him out, but he's unwilling to press it. So he obviously never learned any lessons from previous things, like Abisarala's been right in the past, and on top of that, look what happened to.
He does make a fair point to Abisarala. He says
she
just says I've learned to listen, which is it's nice moment.
Yeah, there's something.
I guess I could be right back, just going for a space piss.
Okay.
Yep.
And I like the guy that they brought in for their second opinion. He's like, here, he's like. And he's like,
have you not got your own scientists?
Yeah, it's like, don't stop asking us questions. We're here to ask you. But he's got the, so they've got all the asteroid fragments, and he goes, they were having sensor problems, and he goes, no, look at it again. What do you think could that be? And he goes,
I think something that bothers me a little bit about that scene is I think, based on the graphics that they've created, it's a little bit too obvious what's happening. Like you can see one side of the asteroid and not the other. I think somebody as smart as those people would put it together in that scene, given the graphics.
Yeah,
that they
it
saw.
Would be a lot quicker. Yeah, a lot smarter. They get to the point, the truth more quickly.
Yeah.
But So Ashford's message gets to the gets to them just too late, or at least for that first rock it does anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
As she said, I mean, Avastrala does say, you think he, do you think he stopped at one rock, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, but at least we get a rock hit, which I've been looking forward to.
Mm. Yep, Earth gets hit with a rock. I noticed as well that she's... it's quite cool when they remind you that they're on the moon, because... Not from the, obviously the external shots are brilliant because they've got the Lovell City or whatever it is, the big place. But they've also got when he's in making the cocktails for Avasarala in that office, and there's like a little window at the back looking out onto the moon, you know.
Yeah. There's actually one moment I liked in the previous episode that I forgot to mention. Just a little detail that I thought was kind of cool. You know when Lydia and young Amos are having that chat on the... So partly what you get to see Baltimore's sort of seawalls, like everything's got seawalls because obviously the sea, you know, global warming happened, the sea level went up. So everything's got sea defenses, seawalls. And there was a little odd structure sticking out of the water just offshore or off the new shore. And I just went to Wikipedia to look at like what does Baltimore Harbor look like.
Yeah.
And that is actually a specific building. It's called the National Aquarium.
It's now underwater.
Yeah, it's now underwater. Yeah, I thought that was quite cool. It's an actual building. That's a nice detail. Oh, it looks like it is. At least it looks like that building. That was kind of cool. Yeah.
Like is that an Easter egg?
Not like, really an Easter egg. Just a little detail. I think about that. You know, they've actually based it on the actual harbour, which is
The fish took over or something.
Let me see. I'll find the picture. You might remember the little thing sticking out.
You were talking about Delgado just before I left. Quite liked him, but
I like him.
Yeah, because when you said he had a bit of Admiral Souther about him, I didn't quite get that from previous episodes, but in this one, I definitely did.
No, I kind of.
He's an Admiral Souther with a lot more political nous.
Yeah,
yeah.
I suppose I was being a little bit teleological into this episode, actually.
Yeah.
Knowing that he's not just on screen, there's also other stuff. Sorry, I'm just looking at
just want to make sure the messages don't flash up on the screen again.
I know.
Well, that's just me. That's just pictures of that aquarium.
Have you got a picture of it from the? Oh yeah. I recognise the building now. Yeah, yeah.
There's just that glass kind of pyramid thing, shape sticking out of the water when they're talking. Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting. We're not sharing it with you, audience. Ha ha ha. Well, I hate to say it, but I don't think I've got much else to say on this episode. This is going to be the shortest Space Virgins ever because we only got one or two small tangents as well.
Yeah, it's one of those build-up episodes. I will have much more to. There's much more of interest for me to talk about next episode.
Yeah. There's a lot goes on in the next couple of episodes for sure.
Oh, there you go. Just for the sake, I did Google it.
Adventure and excitement as well. What's that, bud?
There's a picture from the show.
A picture from the show.
Right. I will show them to the audience. Hang on. Oh, that picture's tiny.
It is. Yeah, you zoom into it. It gets the point across.
Yeah, that's.
But nice. Nice little detail. And then, attention to detail is always nice.
Oh, that's definitely the right one. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. I've showed them to the audience,
and from that we can gauge how far the sea level has risen, like, and it's quite a fucking way.
Yeah.
See, do you think, like, in our lifetime, it could be the case that London, like a lot of London, goes underwater?
Well, we can only hope.
Do you reckon? Do you reckon it? Like, they'll seawall it, or do you reckon they'll be like, you know what? Let's just go to Birmingham.
I mean, I'd love London to get destroyed. I think it's not much of this country is much above sea level. Like here, I think here, I mean, I'm about as far away from the sea as you can get in the UK, and I think we're about 100 meters above sea level.
That's a lot.
100 meters is a lot. No, I don't mean we get flooded, but it's not. You know, it's not that. It's not that high. A tsunami would fuck us. A good one.
Sorry, I'm trying to find out. I'm wondering if I have put things on the screen now because I'm trying to find out which source I'm using. Oh, no, it's that one. And that is... Oh, no, that's a wind on another thing. So I should be all right. Should be okay. I think it's just because I put it on the wrong monitor last time.
If you saw Hamish's bank details, don't do anything irresponsible with it.
No, just send them to the email. There, yeah. And, yeah. Just so we, yeah.
I will. Anyway. I'll scroll through the video to make sure, but it should be okay this time. Yeah, I'm not screwed it up too much.
Are we done then? I think we're done. I think we're reasonable. It would be artificially extending it, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no reason to keep things going unnecessarily. I think somebody wants something. Yeah.
Why do huskies always look so derpy face on?
I know. It's like,
something about their eyes. They've got a derpy. Yeah.
Well, because in nature, the only people seeing them coming head on are dead.
So it doesn't matter.
Hello, I'm coming. Right. Yeah. Well, he's decided it's over as well. So sorry this has been a short one, peeps, but that's just,
but it's not been, it's still been what, like an hour or something? It's still,
it's just,
you know,
over an hour, yeah, just over an hour. Peanut, wait a minute, mate.
I'm really looking forward to the next, I think it's the next episode where the really cool stuff happens that I like a lot.
Well, it's but, over yeah. over the next couple, I think.
Over the next couple, yeah.
I know which bit you're, it's something that we didn't see in this episode. Mm. Yeah, we, I
also,
know what.
A mysterious returning character.
Yes, mysterious.
Finally, because I'm looking forward to it. Because
wait, which character is this?
It's mysterious.
We covered it in the last episode, but yeah, don't think about it. It's better if it just happens.
Oh, Clarissa.
Shh.
She explains it all.
She does.
Actually, guys, I'm a bit quiet. I just realised.
What?
Oh, fuck! I thought I was quiet. This fucking pissing automatic change thing has happened again, and it shouldn't have. Right,
You're not quite for us. I guess it's different, isn't it? On the,
Yeah.
I mean, it's when you hear us all together. What, something's still messing with it. I know what
I've got a backup recording on this end.
Okay, that might be better. If it's really low, that might.
No,
be better.
It shouldn't be too bad. Now, what it is the. I know exactly what it is. It's when I refresh Jitsi. It didn't take into account that I say no, don't put the, you know, the automatic gain control on. It does it every. It's like you have to tell it to switch off in a, you know, on the command on the address.
Automatic stuff is more trouble than it's worth, if you ask me.
I've got plenty of ways of controlling everything. I don't need you to fucking do it for me.
I've got insured on Rosie's car because she's got like a decent car and. Sometimes it makes sense to, it's only like £25 a year to add me onto her insurance, but everything in her car is automatic windscreen wipers, headlights, gears, all this kind of stuff. And it doesn't feel comfortable to me because it's like, if I want the windscreen wipers on, flick, they're on. I don't like the automatic is like,
The mini's like that. I'm probably
going
to end
seems
up driving
like an unnecessary level of automation. Yeah, like the effort of flicking, it's not that big a deal, you know.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes if it's only very lightly raining, right, I don't want, it's very distracting. I'll do the little flick up for one every like at minute or whatever, if you know, because I don't know, like it doesn't use any extra brain power.
I suppose it's like technically less distraction for a driver.
All cars are exactly the fucking same. They have to sell them on features, don't they? It's like what happens with graphic cards every 3 years.
See, okay, yeah, all right. Here's the unpopular opinion of the fucking hour. This will be some controversy, right? And then I think, right? I have mixed feelings about the Cybertruck. Right?
Oh,
you're going to say something nice about it?
I do. I am going to say something I like about it. I like that it doesn't look like every other car on the road.
Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah. I don't like how it looks, but I like that at least it doesn't look like.
Well, first off, it's way too big.
It's a fucking death trap as well.
Yeah. But okay, it's too big, right? Like it's way too big. A smaller version, whatever. I like the fact that it doesn't look like every other car on the road.
I mean, they've withdrawn it anyway because of how dangerous it is.
And it's not well made. You know?
You're purely aesthetically. You just like
purely aesthetically. I like that it's different. I like that it's different more than anything else. Right?
Yeah.
It's the pure hipster side of things.
I don't hate the look of it itself. When people say, I mean, obviously I hate Elon Musk and all the other stuff around him, and all the yada, 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 and it is a death trap. But, and it's way too big. Like, it's dangerously big.
It does look like it hasn't fully loaded.
Yeah. Well, that's what I like about it.
Yeah,
I like the low poly.
Deus Exy.
Yeah, exactly. But I just wish they made more cars that just looked a bit...
With that in mind, it reminds me of Hard Driving. Remember the
exactly like that.
So there we go.
If we get fusion power and we've just got unlimited energy, then we can stop caring about aerodynamics so much, and then we can make cars look different. Because, I mean, it is basically it's a solved engineering problem in terms of the fuel efficiency, which is a good thing. But yeah,
we're not going to get fusion though.
No.
Because it's not making money for oil.
It'll make money for the people who invent it.
Yeah, but no, but will it? No, some guy will invent it and a company will take the money. Yeah.
But also, like, I don't. I mean, there is a part of me that's like, well, cars shouldn't be like a trendy. Like, if it was up to me, Range Rovers would be classed as utility vehicles. Like, people driving Range Rovers for like because they want to is insane to me.
You get them around here for the school run. One person driving a Range Rover to pick up one child.
It's insane. They
live on an estate. They don't live on a muddy path and track.
The one thing worse than a Range Rover is a white Range Rover. That is a twat mobile if ever there was one. I guarantee there is not one person in the world that owns a white Range Rover that isn't at least in some way a colossal twat.
Oh, sure. I'm probably
agree with you.
Because it's the mentality.
Email in if you own a white Range Rover.
But it's like
the whole mentality. To your face.
Yeah, because like if you're gonna there is cases where a lot of people they have to own a car for work or whatever, right? But you can choose what car that is. You can have a small, sensible hatchback car, or you can have the fucking biggest thing on the road, and it's like it's the mentality of I don't care that my engine's bigger and uses more fuel and puts out more emissions. I don't care that in an accident I'll be more likely to kill them than they are to. It's the whole attitude of all's me.
To mollify this slightly, and this is devil's advocating, like I don't really believe, but like they were marked. Those kind of vehicles were marketed as like, this will keep your children safe. If you love your children, you drive one of these. If you don't, it means you hate your children.
Yeah, that was kind of part of it.
Yeah, but even still, that mentality of even succumbing to it is that my children's more important than everyone else.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, no, that's where I absolutely.
Yeah.
It's selfish, self-centered. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's the Thatcherism of culture, isn't it? You know, like
very much so. Yeah.
Sorry, we got all peanut all excited, and now we're actually finding stuff to drag the.
let's end it there, because apart from anything else, I really need a piss.